This episode is made possible by Nielsen. What even is TV anymore? Phones? Tablets? Refrigerators, for crying out loud? So make sure you're looking at everything. All of it. Check out Nielsen's Upfronts, Newfronts guide for the full picture. Visit Nielsen.com to learn more.
Instagram is already kind of part of the cultural firmament, but it's not really sexy the way that TikTok is. But the short answer is that a lot of the power is going to redound to those two right off the bat. We ran a very, very preliminary analysis of what would happen if you just kind of waved a magic wand and made TikTok go away.
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, March 26. Max Minder and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, the new marketer podcast made possible by Nielsen. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by, I nearly said I'm Nielsen. That's not true. It's probably a cooler name. I like Marcus. It's fine. Who do we have on the show for you today? Two people. Let's meet them. We start with our senior analyst covering social media based in New York. It's Minder Smiley.
Hello.
Hello there. And we're also joined by our senior analyst on the digital advertising and media team. He's based in Philadelphia. It's Max Willens.
Yo.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. Welcome back. We had you on yesterday in part one. Today, we're talking all about, in part two, what happens if TikTok does, in fact, get banned. What does that world look like? But we start with today's fact, and that is one day on Jupiter only lasts about 10 hours. We complain that 24 is not enough. 10. But their years are longer. They include about 4,000 days. So short days, long years, very long years. Another fact about Jupiter. The Great Red Spot on Jupiter is a huge elliptical-shaped anticyclone. Don't really know what that means, but it's a long-lasting area of pressure that creates a persistent storm that happens to be the size of Earth. That's too big. Can you imagine if there was a storm one day that spanned the entire planet? Like, everyone looked out the window and there was a storm, and then you went and turned on the news and it was like, a storm's everywhere, it's across the whole planet. And then it lasted for 300 years. I hate when it's windy out.
This falls firmly in the bucket of how on earth do they know that? Like,
yeah, it's true. It's probably just a guess.
I'm sure there's a perfectly valid explanation, but like, how on earth do they have any idea?
Scratch this fact. It's probably wrong.
Everybody pay attention to your science teachers, kids. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, like, I hear that and I go, what?
Max is saying, don't go to class.
I'm agitated, Marcus, because I have been trapped in this room since we taped yesterday.
You stayed in the same room?
Very worked up. You didn't say I could leave.
That's true. I did say wait there for 24 hours. Anyway, today's real topic, what a TikTokless America would look like. In today's episode, first in the lead, we'll cover what happens if TikTok is actually banned and what marketers should be thinking about. No other news today. We start by talking about what TikTokless America could look like. Let's have a quick look at what a TikTok-filled America looks like. Minder, you were mentioning on yesterday's episode that it's about 54 minutes per day people spend on TikTok. There are about 110 million Americans who use TikTok. And of smartphone users, they skew younger, but there are older folks using TikTok. 75% of Gen Z smartphone people using the app, 50% of millennials, and 15 to 20% of Gen X and boomers. But Minder, I'll start with you. If it does get banned, what does a TikTokless America look like?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on who you're talking to. I mean, I'm actually working on a bit of a data drop, shameless plug here, but we're going to be coming out this week with a report that's kind of focused on just some charts that really show the impact that TikTok has had on marketers, on creators, on users. It'll really give people context to answer your question. But yeah, I mean, I guess we can start with marketers. There, according to our estimates, TikTok is supposed to earn more than $10 billion in ad revenue this year, which is, if you want to put that into context, that's roughly one-fifth of what Meta brings in annually. So, you know,
that's pretty significant, right? That's the fifth largest digital player in America that we track. And that's about 3% of the market, just behind Microsoft. So it's not Google, it's not Meta, you know, as you said, one-fifth, it's not Amazon. But it's good enough for fifth place, and it's good enough for 3%, and it's good enough for $10 billion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think when you look at it that way, especially when you consider how new TikTok is, I mean, Meta's been around for much longer. Most people weren't really downloading TikTok. You know, I mean, maybe obviously Gen Z was ahead of the curve, but like, I don't even think I got TikTok till 2019, if I remember correctly. And so, yeah, it's relatively new. So to already be commanding that much ad revenue and just like conversation, honestly, it's pretty impressive. So it will certainly have an impact on what marketing budgets look like. I think when you look at creators too, I mean, that's a whole other tangent we could go on, but yes. I think we kind of know broadly that creators are really hoping it does not go away for several reasons, and users also feel the same way. So yeah, I mean, I think there's sort of a lot to dig into, but I think to answer your question more succinctly, the impact would certainly be felt across different demographics.
Yeah, yeah. Creators are going to need a new home. Think Reels, YouTube Shorts, maybe they head to Snapchat, other places. But Max, what does a TikTokless America look like for you?
Well, the air would be cleaner. The animals would be healthier. I'm just being a jerk again. I think the answer, the sort of short, possibly oversimplified answer, is just a world where Instagram and YouTube are even more powerful economically and culturally, thanks to a playbook that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg first started using with Stories many, many years ago. There is a whole lot of copycatting that's gone on in the social and digital media space over the last half decade. And so consequently, a lot of the kind of raw material, a lot of the basic facets of the TikTok experience are available elsewhere. You can find them on Reels. You can find them in YouTube Shorts. The sync between videos and shopping is one that, you know, Amazon is keen to copy, both in terms of live streams and also it's plugging into Meta and Pinterest via partnerships. And you know, I don't know that the kind of cultural centrality that TikTok has enjoyed for the last several years could easily be picked up by Instagram. I mean, Instagram is already kind of part of the cultural firmament, but it's not really, you know, sexy the way that TikTok is or has been for the last couple of years. But the short answer is that a lot of the power is going to redound to those two right off the bat.
Yeah.
We ran a very, very preliminary analysis of what would happen if you just kind of waved a magic wand and made TikTok go away. And according to that, again, preliminary analysis, between a quarter and a third of TikTok's revenues would just go to Meta and, you know, further solidify them as one of the, you know, three most powerful advertising companies in the United States.
Yeah, a lot of that variation depends on how much it gets reallocated, right? How many of those dollars get reallocated, that could influence which scenario ends up happening. And that's a couple of billion dollars extra for Meta, which is pretty impressive, would boost their growth quite a lot. According to our analysis, YouTube, the second greatest beneficiary, getting about $1 to $1.5 billion. Google's display and search business getting some as well. And then some other folks, you know, you've got the other guys, X, Pinterest, Snapchat, LinkedIn, all standing to benefit to a lesser extent. And then potentially Amazon, Netflix, Disney, other folks as well who might be able to hold on or grab a couple of those dollars. Now, in terms of that's where the dollars could potentially go, the $10 billion that are currently going to TikTok for advertising going somewhere else. In terms of the users, I mentioned 110 million folks would be kind of homeless, so to speak, and they'd have to go find somewhere else to spend that time, assuming that they would go to other platforms to spend that time and not save that time and not end up going somewhere else. The short answer in terms of where people would go is Meta, Instagram, Facebook, and also Alphabet with YouTube. The Economist was looking at where TikTok users where else they are in terms of social platforms. The research from Kepios, 82% of worldwide TikTokers use Facebook, 80% use Instagram, and 78% watch YouTube. Just 53% use X, 35% are on Snapchat. So Meta and Alphabet, the two dominant online ad players, would benefit the most. There's a really interesting case study as well. After we mentioned last episode, India banned TikTok in 2020. After there was a conflict on its border with China. And Instagram surged in the country. In 2019, it was the sixth most downloaded app in India. And by 2021, it was at the top. And then there was another interesting survey by marketing company MGH, which found nearly 60% of TikTok users said they would use Reels regularly if the app was banned. 52% said Shorts and 23% said X. So that's where the dollars could go and where the users could go. But who might buy it? Because we were talking last episode in terms of the potential outcomes. One is it could get banned. Another is it could get sold and continue to function. So top of your list, Minda, who do you think's most likely to buy this thing?
Gosh, that's a good question. Honestly, that's not something I've seen as part of the conversation too much at this point. I feel like, if I remember correctly, I think like Microsoft at one point was considering buying it.
Yes.
or there was some conversation around
the US
that.
Operations,
so.
Yeah. And they were saying they could really use it because they don't really have a great presence in consumers' lives outside of their software, the business software.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I have to imagine there's a reason why those talks stopped or why I haven't heard much, but I would say Microsoft is like, yeah, one of the more obvious contenders to your point.
Yep. Max?
Well, I would say that the short answer is nobody, because one of the things that the Chinese government has been very unambiguous about is that they will basically oppose a forced sale to anybody. And they would, if given the choice between shutting it down and selling it, they would choose to shut it down. It's entirely possible that that's posturing, and you know, the prospect of turning off a not just a source of revenue, but also a lifeline to an increasingly large number of Chinese manufacturers that are targeting American consumers, that they might kind of blink and change their mind about it. But in light of that vital role that it plays essentially for Chinese brands and Chinese manufacturers with designs on building American consumer brands, I think a kind of dark horse candidate to buy them could be Walmart. So Walmart has, for years and years and years, had an immensely symbiotic relationship with Chinese manufacturers, which supply them with the cheap goods that fill their stores, in addition to American consumer brands. And Walmart has been really, really focused on trying to find ways to get its goods out there and market it and sort of build out its own retail media operations. And I think that, you know, in that same vein, you could say that, well, maybe Amazon would make more sense, but Amazon is under an immense amount of scrutiny at the moment here, and in a way that would probably make this the sort of thing that would attract the kind of attention that they do not want at the moment. But Walmart is not facing similar scrutiny, and so they might be kind of a plausible or intriguing proposition. The Microsoft thing is interesting to me. I mean, they, I think, are also sort of would face similar sort of antitrust scrutiny. But to your point, you know, it would be a really, really interesting complement to LinkedIn on one end and, you know, Xbox and their gaming universe on the other. But again, I think that the possible antitrust scrutiny that they would face is likely to be too intense for them to pursue it further.
Yeah.
There's some great suggestions. And Walmart as well, they teamed up with Oracle to buy a minority stake in TikTok a few years ago. That deal fell through, and Oracle's bought a records company, health records company, Cerner, in 2022 for nearly $30 billion. So it's unlikely they have the money to join up with Walmart for another run at this. Amazon's interesting. Microsoft is interesting as well. The Economist also pointing to Apple and Netflix, saying that they both passed when TikTok was considering a sale in 2020, could reconsider given slow growth in iPhone sales and streaming subscriptions respectively. And then another potential buyer, former Activision boss Bobby Kotick, was reportedly interested in buying TikTok in 2020 and again earlier this month, maybe with partner Sam Altman of OpenAI, although they've got enough problems, I'm sure. So I don't know if they would want to invite any more scrutiny.
I will say, though, I mean, one thing that I think is worth pointing out, and it was very wise of the reporters at The Information to make this point loudly and clearly, which is that TikTok is a money-losing business.
Yes.
You know, and we are no longer in an age where you can basically borrow money for free. And so anybody that does buy it is going to have to deal with the reality that they are buying a very big, very money-losing business that if they, you know, plan to continue building out TikTok Shop, for example, if they plan to continue to invest in long-form video infrastructure, it is going to continue to lose money and lots of money for a very long time. And if you look at the way that Wall Street has responded to, for example, the money losing that has gone on with streaming operations at Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery, I think it's worth reckoning with the fact that any company that does buy TikTok, if it's publicly traded, will immediately be starting to field questions of, so when are you going to make it profitable? When are you going to make it profitable? Yeah. When's that going to happen? When is it going to stop being a drag on your earnings? And, you know, the number of companies that can, you know, kind of brush those questions aside or, you know, answer them comfortably is pretty short.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider as you, you know, think about or continue to sort of game all this
stuff
out.
It's also a short list of companies who will have enough money. And if you do have enough money, you might be too big because you're going to invite antitrust concerns anyway. And so to your point is you're trying to sell a business. You're like, hey, is this business? Do you want to buy it? And they're like, oh, you know, how's it doing? Oh, terrible. It loses tons of money. It's culturally relevant, but it's going to lose a lot of money. I don't think it doesn't sound great. How much is that going for? Oh, $100 billion. And that's a figure that was suggested. Wedbush analyst Dan Ives putting the value at TikTok's US operations at $100 billion. That would drop to $40 billion if the buyout doesn't include the company's famed algorithm. But the price tag, it could just run way too high. And also, the price tag could be even higher if ByteDance says, you know what, we're probably going to get banned in other countries. We'll throw in the operations of other countries, TikTok operations in other countries as well. You can buy the whole lot. The Canadian government just said a national security review of TikTok's planned expansion in the country has been going on since September. So could get banned there as well. Let's finally turn our attention to a question that Trishla Oswal of Adweek was proposing. What would a TikTok ban or sale mean for advertisers, Max?
So I think the simple answer is unfortunately quite similar to one of the answers that I gave to my previous question, which is just that even more of their money has to go into YouTube and Instagram. Mm-hmm. A lot of what is possible on TikTok at the moment is also quite doable on Instagram and YouTube. There are not a lot of American consumers that are on TikTok that are not also reachable on the 8 platforms that I mentioned.
Yep.
And again, the cachet isn't quite there. The way that their algorithms function differs from platform to platform. But in terms of just the simple ability to, you know, reach lots of young people at scale, to put ads in front of them that, you know, drive them to transact, you can do a lot of that if you just walk down the street to Meta or to Google. So I think that the short answer is that the kind of positions of the duopoly and to a certain extent the triopoly will just get further strengthened in the short term.
Yeah. Yeah. Meta's Reels, YouTube Shorts could definitely emerge as alternatives. Minda, what do you think marketers should be thinking about as they plan for the future of whether potential ban or maybe no ban at all?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Max for sure on that point in terms of just like where the money would go. I do think, you know, just from what I've read and what I've heard, especially marketers in the social space, perhaps more than other types of marketers, you know, they're kind of used to rolling with the punches. You know, a new platform pops up or a new viral trend happens overnight. Like, I do think marketers that work in this space are so used to, I mean, maybe not to something this extent of, in terms of like such a jarring change, but I don't think any of them are really panicking quite yet. You know, you see terms thrown around like, oh, we have a contingency plan in place, or we're getting recommendations from our agencies. Like, they're thinking about it, but do I think anyone is like, you know, really kind of seriously planning for a TikTok ban right now? I would say no. And then just like a sort of relevant but slightly different take is more like on the organic side of things, like just how this could impact marketing strategies. I think, you know, obviously a lot of money goes to TikTok, as we've talked about, but I also think it's really changed their strategies in terms of, you know, even I was even reading something earlier, like Fruit of the Loom brought their like fruit mascots back because of TikTok, because like mascots are just like something that we have done well on TikTok. Obviously Duolingo is like the big example we always go to, but like we're seeing all these funny little like downstream effects of just like brands rethinking their entire marketing strategy just based off of like one kind of TikTok insight. And so the Fruit of the Loom example being one of the funnier ones. But yeah, I think from that point of view, I think maybe marketers will, it could maybe usher in like a new chapter where they're kind of not so reliant on these like trends or viral moments that TikTok has spurred.
Yeah, it's a really good point about no one panicking and marketers, you know, doing their due diligence and trying to plan for the future. It seems like it's already started. Miss Oswald of Adweek noting that media agency Collective Measures says brands are already testing identical ad units offered by Snap, YouTube Shorts, and Reels. The agency's director of performance media, Lauren Burling, saying Meta has since emerged as the top performer. And it's also, for a lot of folks, seems like it's hard to take the ban seriously, or at least overreact to it. John Johnston, senior social innovation director at performance marketing agency Tinuity, saying, quote, if history tells us anything, it's very unlikely that a ban will happen, close quote. But we'll see. That's all we've got time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests for hanging out with me yesterday and today. Thank you to Minda.
Thank you.
Thank you to Max.
Thank you, Marcus. Can I go home now?
Yeah, you can go. If you want to listen to us talk about the likelihood of a ban or how Americans feel about it, you can tune into yesterday's episode, part one. But that's all we've got time for this episode. Thank you so much to Victoria, who edits the show, and the rest of the podcast gang, James Stewart and Sophie. Thanks to everyone for listening into the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Nielsen. You can tune in tomorrow to the Reimagining Retail show with host Sarah Lebo as she runs through this March's top 8 most interesting retailers of the month list with Becky Schilling, Susie David Canyon, and Zach Stambaugh.